Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Anthony and Kara.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the one, the only GC Podcast. Kara, can you believe it's December already? Listen, it's not that I'm expecting anything, but what'd you get me for Christmas?
Not to say that I did or will, but if I were to, I might have to get you a dad joke book. You know, I think that you could use a little bit of practice and coaching in that arena. So,
listen, some people have it and some people don't, and I don't. You can get me a dad joke book, and it's still going to be awful. But thank you for the thought. Well, Kara, this month's episode is about team-based faith avenue. And GCI's model of ministry is called team-based and pastor-led. And I'm curious, from your perspective, a GCI's development coordinator, why is being team-based the preferred way forward for us as a denomination?
Well, you know, we as one person, we can't do it all. And more importantly, we weren't created to. I mean, again and again in scriptures, we see this theme of the body of Christ and varied giftedness and coming together to participate in Jesus's life and ministry according to one's particular calling in that particular season. And so I think that team-based pastor-led ministry creates space for everyone to participate in Jesus's ministry and to do that in a way that is responsive to their particular calling. We bring different perspectives and experiences and gifts and even flavors and vibes to the team and the ministries of the church. And as we create more of that space, man, participation in Jesus's ministry is a big part of discipleship. And so if we're hogging all that space to participate in ministry, we really are robbing people of part of an experience of the discipleship journey. So really, team-based is the way to go, man.
Talking about bringing flavors to the team, I think I'm a little bit sweet and a little bit sour. Depends on which day, but it's all good. I bring what I am. And it does take teamwork to make the dream work, friends. So my guest this month is Sarah Stroob from Grace Communion Big Sandy. Let's listen to her insights on what it looks like when the faith avenue is flourishing in a team-based way. Hello, friends, and welcome to the latest episode of GC Podcast. This podcast is devoted to exploring best ministry practices in the context of Grace Communion International Churches. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and it's my joy to welcome this month's guest, Sarah Stroob. Sarah is the Faith Avenue champion who hails from Big Sandy, Texas, where she is a part of the GCI congregation there. She's married to George, who we interviewed in a previous podcast, and they have two children together. Sarah, thank you for joining the pod. But before we get into the topic at hand, which is what it's going to look like to have a team-based faith avenue, why don't you tell the good people of GC Podcast Land a little bit about yourself and what's good in your life right now?
Okay. Well, thanks for the welcome, Anthony, and it's really great to be here with you guys and just having this time together. So I've been living in this little town for a long time and really happy to be here in small town East Texas. I have been part of my congregation from birth, and I have served in many different positions in the congregation. I currently serve as a worship leader, and I serve in the Faith Avenue, and I also serve as a treasurer for the congregation. So I have a few hats. In my life outside of church, I work for our city government. I am the court clerk for the Big Sandy Municipal Court. So if you ever get a traffic ticket coming through Big Sandy, you will get to talk with me.
Will you get us off scot-free?
No, I won't. I will hold you to the law.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And I guess the most exciting thing right now is we're about to send our daughter off to Texas A&M University in College Station, Texas. She's going to be studying mechanical engineering, and she's going on campus for the first time. So we're really excited for her.
Well, we join in your excitement and share in that. She's going to be an Aggie, and what an impressive thing she's stepping into. Well, Sarah, again, thanks for joining us. And as I mentioned, we're going to talk about a team-based faith avenue. And you mentioned it's one of the hats, one of the several hats you're wearing for your congregation. Let me start by asking you, how do you work in collaboration with the Love and Faith Avenue champions, thinking about, you know, that team-based environment of faith, hope, and love?
Yeah, so we have a really good foundation for working together, and really started to come together in the last year or so. Our pastor started having the Avenue champions meet together monthly and have a meal together. We called it Friends Night, and that was all BC, which means before COVID. So we would meet together monthly, and you know, we had served for years together in ministry, but just breaking bread together on a monthly basis brought us together closer in personal relationship. And when our church services had to close down due to the pandemic, that closeness remained and just allowed us to continue to conduct church business, you know, when things were shut down. And those three Avenue champions and our pastor have become a core ministry team in our church, and we're working on getting our monthly meals started up again. Now, as far as collaborating in our three areas, honestly, we've got a ways to go in that. We know that it's very important, and we've just had to spend a lot of time, though, understanding what our individual avenues are about and kind of just getting up to speed on that. We've only been champions for about a year and a half with a lot of interruptions from the pandemic. So we are on the lookout for opportunities to work together, but that's something that we are working on.
I think you said something important, Sarah, and that is, as you have been meeting, there was the component of just personal relationship and breaking bread together. And I think in terms of building a team atmosphere, that's huge. Can you talk a little bit more about just having some fun together, getting to know one another, and how that helps build a cohesive team?
Yeah, you know, when you're ministry leaders, I don't know, you probably looked up to people that served in ministry before, and there might be a kind of an idea that they're, oh, very serious and, you know, whatever. But our pastor and his wife especially set the tone right away, and we've had fun at those dinners. I mean, we have a squeaky cow that we, a squeaky toy cow that we hide in each other's houses, and we have to find it, and there's games that we play at dinner. So it really just broke the ice and helped us to get to know each other more as people and be more authentic with each other, and I don't know, it just really helped us to work together more closely.
Well, there you go, folks. Your best practice for today is the squeaky cow. So if you want to talk further about that, just reach out to Sarah. So as we talk about the Faith Avenue playing a significant role in church life, how important is the relationship between the pastor and the Faith Avenue champion? And you've already touched on this, but what does that collaboration look like on that level?
Well, to start, I would say that I recently saw a job description for the Faith Avenue champion, and it included both administrative tasks and pastoral work. And that kind of surprised me, but when I thought about it, I realized that myself and the members of my faith team, we really do pastoral work, like mentoring and helping people through questions about life and their faith. And so I feel this work that we do lightens our pastor's workload. So in that way, we're serving our pastor. On the other hand, our pastor is also serving us in the Faith Avenue. you know, in our Connect groups, a lot of different issues come up, and it's a good idea to have a range of resources available that we can go to if there's issues that we can't handle. And some of those might be like counselors or, you know, hotlines or organizations. But our pastor is one of our biggest resources that we go to and just call on his help. And to kind of explain how that plays out, I just have a story about something that happened recently in our Faith Avenue. We were actually having some conflict, some social conflict with some of our teens and young adults because there had been some boundaries that were not being respected. And honestly, I have to say, as the Faith Avenue champion, I was ignoring the issue and kind of just hoping it would go away. But our pastor recognized what needed to be done, and he went ahead, stepped up, had some hard conversations with people, and it solved the issue. And I just really appreciated his initiative and taking care of something that was, you know, bothering our Faith Avenue, making it be less effective. So not only do we as team members support him and lighten his workload, but he also steps in and helps us as a resource in the Faith Avenue. And then I also just want to say, go ahead, Anthony, did you have a question?
No, I was just going to comment how encouraging that is to hear it, because we're talking about being team-based, but also pastor-led. And that story that you told, a real life issue that he addressed, it encapsulates what that looks like to be team-based and pastor-led. So I just wanted to commend your pastor and the collaborative nature of the team to work together in that way. I think that's excellent. Go ahead.
It's really good. And just to conclude my thought on the collaboration between the pastor and me, I would like to just say, as the faith champions work with their pastor, I would just encourage you to do things to make the relationship work well. So some of the things that I do to try to work together with my pastor are, I try to look at things from his perspective. So I'll try to put myself in his shoes. I try to keep him in the loop on what's going on. If he would appreciate knowing details about something, I try to, you know, recognize that and share. But if I know that it's something he really doesn't need to know, it's just extra stuff, well, I don't share that because he doesn't need to know every little detail. And then I do try to understand what I can handle by myself and just go ahead and take the initiative on that. But if there's things that he needs to, you know, step in and help with, then I reach out to help for, you know, to him. So that's kind of how it works for me.
Yeah, that's really helpful. You mentioned that you've been the Faith Avenue champion for a year and a half. And, oh, there was this little thing called COVID that entered into things. And so that disrupt some of the development. So this may be, this may feel like this question's coming a little too soon in the process, but let me ask it anyway. What specific areas within your Faith Avenue do you feel good about? And what areas still need work and development in your mind?
Well, Anthony, we have really been blessed in our congregation because I guess just the way things worked out, we had a Wednesday night Bible study activity going on well before we even learned about the Faith Avenue. So there were some things that were working great, and they've continued. We have Connect groups that currently meet on Wednesday nights, and we have them split up by age groups in our congregation. That's what works for us. We've been doing this for years, and the ministry work has been good. It's been helping people grow in their faith. And then our pastor and his wife recently started up an elder care group. And so on Wednesday nights, when we're all in our age groups, you know, doing our Connect group thing, they are spending time connecting with the elderly members in our congregation, and especially those that are shut in. And this was something that God led them to start, and it's been a real blessing to our members, and it's just been going a few weeks. Last of all, we have a fellowship group, and so that's kind of a group that's not a Bible study or a discussion group. It's just a fun group, and they meet on Saturday afternoons, and they actually play dominoes every week, so there's just a dominoes group. But there's a real interesting aspect of this group. There are people that play together that are former members of our church. But the relational connection is so important to all of the people in the group that they just set aside any doctrinal differences that they have, and they have fun with each other. So that's pretty amazing.
That's very amazing. And it goes to show, Sarah, that you can have different types of groups to meet different types of people. And what a beautiful thing it is to play dominoes and let differences be bygone, you know, and so to speak, as they come together. That's a really neat thing you've got going. So we've talked about team-based, and it's not just you being on a team with the other Avenue champions and the pastor, but of course you're being asked to build out a Faith Avenue team. Why can you talk about that, and why is the team-based structure so important to you in the Faith Avenue?
Well, Anthony, if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to just backpedal a little bit and go back to a couple of things that I'd like to see strengthened in our Faith Avenue. And the reason I'd like to touch on those is because I just want to encourage other Faith Avenue champions that have stuff that they're working on too. Hey, we don't have all successes here in our church. We have things that we need to work on as well.
Go for it.
Okay. I talked about the successes that we have, but there are things that we wish that we were stronger in, and we're working on those things. One thing is I would really like to see more interaction between the age groups that meet on Wednesday nights. And our idea is to have things like skill nights where everybody just meets together and we're teaching, especially the young people, things like cooking, money management, maybe car care. So we think that that would help the groups mingle a little bit more, and we plan on doing that on occasion. And then finally, I just want to say that I also am aware that missionary activity is part of the Faith Avenue. And I've been learning about that. Missionary activity is where you do short-term service projects and just work together with people that usually are meeting in a connect group. And as you work together, you grow closer together as a group. A while back, we had one of these. We had the teens replacing American flags on flagpoles that the Rotary Club puts up all over our town. And so we had all the age groups working together. The teens were replacing flags, and it was cool because the teens also got to learn about patriotism. They got to learn about flag etiquette and just respect for our nation's symbols. But it was fun. We were outdoors working with, you know, drills and washers and screws, and we had a trailer going. And so anyway, that really impressed on people, and they keep asking for us to do something like that again. So we will.
That's good. I think there's something about rolling up your sleeves and doing something together that doesn't look like the Sunday worship gathering, and just getting outside and doing that is a really positive thing. So let's step back to the build out of the team. How's that going for you, Sarah? And why is it important in the Faith Avenue?
Like I mentioned before, we did have meetings going on Wednesday nights before we really got our Faith Avenue up and running. But it was more teen-focused. I mean, all the groups had things going, but for some reason, the teens got more of everybody's attention. And so when we closed down for the pandemic, we just had a chance to breathe and step back and refocus and reset. And so our team leaders met, and we just talked about how things were going, and we decided to make two major changes in our Faith Avenue. And so one of them was that we wanted to make space for every age group to be growing in faith and growing in relationship with each other. So rather than simply focusing on the teens, now we had everybody, you know, everybody had a fair share.
Sure.
That's really good. And then I really felt led as the champion to ask my leaders to tell me what they felt the Holy Spirit was leading them to do, because many of them had been serving with the same age group for years. And we didn't just want to go back to the same old, you know. So I asked them to step back and think, and I think they had like a week to think about it, where the Holy Spirit was leading them, whether they wanted to continue doing what they'd been doing or not. And I was a little bit scared because, you know, there was potentially going to be real gaps in our program if there was a lot of moving around. And indeed, there was some moving around. That's how our pastor and his wife got started with the elder care ministry. So they left the group that they had been serving with and started serving the elderly. And there were a few other gaps too, but I just really trusted God to work it out, and he has. The gaps have slowly but surely gotten filled, and now people are working where they're feeling led to work, and it just feels really, it feels really good. Now, I also want to mention that once a month I work with a GCI coach for the Faith Avenue, and that's Glenn Weber. And he has encouraged all of the champions that work with him to get a, or not get, but to recruit an assistant. So we've done that. I worked with my pastor and I worked with my husband and just thought about who to ask to be my assistant. And so I have an assistant working with me and we're just feeling that out. We don't really know exactly how that's supposed to look, but we're very glad to have my assistant on board. And he's actually one of our new teachers. He's teaching the adult group and they're doing that series with The Chosen about Jesus' life.
Sure.
And they're having a blast with it. The adults have really lit up about that whole thing and they're having great discussions. So that's kind of some things that are going on with my team and how we've been building our team and just organizing what's going on.
Yeah. What I find encouraging, Sarah, is sort of the process. As I take a step back from everything that you've said from start to finish, you know, it starts with the pastor and you've been meeting with him. The other Avenue champions, but also developing a team and having some discussions with those who are involved in the Faith Avenue, also being coached in the process. You see a wraparound support coming to bear. So as I listen to you talk, I'm seeing a process here, Sarah, where you started out working with your pastor and the other Avenue champions. There's process in terms of asking folks within the Faith Avenue what the Spirit is leading them to do. You have a coach, and I'm seeing wraparound support, which is just really excellent. And so as we think about wraparound support, part of it is the, you know, the overlap of the three avenues. But I think there's a particularly unique synergy between the Faith Avenue and the Love Avenue. Can you talk about that, please?
Sure. Well, what I see there is how the Love Avenue has a focus on being missional. They are constantly focused on sharing Jesus' love in our community. So they're on mission constantly. And then I think about how my Faith Avenue includes missionary activities where on occasion we're serving in places we don't normally go. But if you look at those two things, the missional work that the Love Avenue does and the missionary activities that the Faith Avenue can do, there's some similarity there and definitely can be some overlap. And we can work together at times and still accomplish the unique goals that we have in each of our avenues.
Yeah, and I also think, and this just aligns with what you said, Sarah, that as new guests attend our church, maybe we've made a connection in the community through the Love Avenue, then the Faith Avenue becomes vitally important because you want to get them connected relationally as soon as possible. And so it's a beautiful thing to watch these two avenues work together. Well, people want personal stories, right? We can talk about theory and methodology, but people are going to remember the squeaky cow and Domino's on Saturday, right? So what story or stories can you share that highlight the impact that Faith Avenue is having in the Big Sandy congregation?
Well, I've got a couple of stories that I'd like to share. One involves our daughter, Rebecca. I am the elementary age connect group leader. So on Wednesday nights, I'm meeting with students who are in the fourth grade through the seventh grade. And I just love teaching that age group. But our daughter is interested in youth ministry. And so she's just stepped into class and she's been hanging out with us and she pipes up whenever she feels like it. And we had that happen the other night, and I just thought it was so cool what happened. My lesson wasn't related to this at all, but I ended up talking with my students about how God is Jesus' dad. And so one of my students piped up, his name is Sid, and he's 9 years old. He said, "Well, I heard from my friends at school that Joseph was Jesus' dad." So I'm like, "Oh yeah, there is that." And so I start, you know, trying to kind of explain this to him, and he's really new in faith. So honestly, I'm saying more things that spark questions in his brain. I can just see it happening, and I'm maybe digging myself deeper in, you know, and I'm 50 years old and not relating super well with this 9-year-old. But my daughter piped up and she said, "Hey, remember how in Greek mythology there are demigods, like half god and half human?" And Sid knew about that. He had heard about it at school. She said, "Well, it's like that with Jesus, but he's completely God and completely human." And I saw the light bulb go off in Sid's brain. I mean, he got it. It was just the coolest thing. And it was a privilege to be there to see that as he, you know, understood a part of Jesus' identity. But it was also really cool to see Rebecca just stepping up and, you know, spreading her wings a little bit in our class.
That's good.
Yeah. And, you know, she told me something later that also really resonated. And I think we all need to hear this in ministry. She said, "Mom," she said, "my deep personal consideration of the scriptures just prepared me to be able to teach about that point." And I see her. I see her studying and pondering. And I mean, isn't that something that we all need to hear?
Oh, that's so good. And I've been in that place with you, Sarah, where I'm not connecting to the 9-year-old. And what a joy it is to see your own daughter, like you said, spreading her wings and making a deep connection about who God is. I mean, those are moments you won't forget when the light goes on like that. That's so, so beautiful. Yeah. Well, as we wrap up our, continue, please.
And I've got another little short story, not as long as that one.
Oh, no, please.
Just a personal story that shows the impact of the Faith Avenue is something that just really thrills me. It's something that's been going on for a couple of years, and so it's really been neat, and it has to do with our town and our school, how they're relating to our Faith Avenue at our church. So a couple of weeks ago, the head coach for athletic program stopped my husband and said, "Hey, just checking with you guys. Are you still meeting for dinner at 6 on Wednesday nights and starting your class at 7? And my husband said, yep, that's what we're doing. Still on that schedule. He said, "All right, well, I'm going to make sure athletic practice ends at 5:30 so the kids can get down there and be part of their Wednesday night group." And so I was just, you know, really happy to hear that they're still keeping us in mind and making sure the kids could go to church on Wednesday nights. It's kind of a Southern thing too, but, you know, we're very grateful. And then this week I was walking around campus doing some errand, and I talked to another of the coaches, and I said, "Hey, you know, thank you guys for ending early so that we could have the kids down at church, you know." And he said, "You know," he just stopped and looked at me. He said, "In the bigger picture," he said, "building faith in those kids is what is most important." And I really appreciated that statement. And I also just really appreciate the fact that we have that kind of reputation with the school, because our church hasn't always had that kind of reputation in our town. And it's just so awesome to see not what we have accomplished, but what Jesus has accomplished in our congregation for the sake of our church members and the sake of our town.
Amen and amen. And I think we see the overlap of the Love Avenue and Faith Avenue, the Love Avenue being the roots that have been put down in the community where you're known, your church is respected, and they value what's happening. Even if they don't call it the Faith Avenue, they know something good. Faith is being built because of what your church is doing. That is beautiful, and I really appreciate you sharing that. Is there anything else as we bring our time together to a close? Anything else you'd like to share with our pastors and Avenue champions and ministry leaders?
I think so. You know, Anthony, there are a couple of scriptures that have really been my anchors over the years as I've served in ministry. And I just want to mention those and why they're so encouraging to me, and, you know, just using them to encourage others that are serving in the same way. One of those scriptures is John 15, verse 5, where Jesus is talking about he is the vine and we are the branches. And to me, that just says that he is the source of all the good things that we're trying to build in, like, the Faith Avenue in this instance. And our job is to connect with him. He's doing the heavy lifting, and he will produce the results that we want to see. And we can just rest in that. And the other scripture that really has strengthened me over the years is that in Isaiah 55:11, he says, he promises, God promises that his word will not return to him void or empty. Mm-hmm. And so that tells me that when we're sharing God's word, when we're teaching from scripture, when we're teaching about who he is, it's always going to produce a result. Whether or not we get to see that or not, there's a promise there that when we're sharing, it's going to have a result. And so I just encourage all ministry workers to stay faithful and keep doing what we know we're supposed to do, because you will make a difference in people's lives.
Well, I appreciate the encouragement, and I join you in a love for John 15:5. And if I remember correctly, as the scripture continues, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And we take that seriously, that he is, as you said, doing the heavy lifting as we participate with him in his ministry. Well, Sarah, I think you've given us some excellent insights to really consider as we build out the Faith Avenue. Thank you for the good work you've already done and in being able to share these best practices. But make no mistake, we're not done with you yet. We have a tradition here at GC Podcast where I get to have some fun at your expense and ask 7 rapid-fire questions, and you share with us the first thing that comes to your mind. Are you ready for this?
Well, Anthony, honestly, I'm not ready, but I'm for the challenge.
Well, that's right where I want you. So here we go. The first question is this. What is your favorite carb? Bread, pasta, rice, or potatoes?
Oh, man. Wow, potatoes are pretty awesome because you can put a lot of toppings on them.
right on, sister. What is your ideal indoor temperature?
Oh, wow. Let's say 70 degrees.
Okay, I like it. On the south side of 72. That's good. Are you an ask for permission person or a seek forgiveness later kind of person?
Oh, well, I hate to say it, but I'm a seek forgiveness later.
Wait, you're a clerk in the court and you're a forgiveness later? I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Your favorite thing. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you talking. Can you say that again?
You know I've gotten in trouble.
Right. Your favorite thing to do at an amusement park?
Not roller coasters. Let's just say a splash pad.
All right. I like it. What sound does a seal make? No, I'm just kidding. My real question is dark chocolate or milk chocolate?
Milk chocolate all the way.
No, say it ain't so. What inspires you?
Oh, man. Just seeing the next generation making progress and being way ahead of where I was at that age.
That's good. And my final question is, what is your favorite thing about being a mother?
Wow, that's a... Now, Anthony, you saved the last one, the hardest one for last there. Man, I don't know. I mean, it's a thrill, obviously, to teach them about faith and just see that going on. Building a lifelong friendship that you know is always going to be there. That's uber cool. And I don't know, just the same thing, seeing the kids so far beyond where I was at that age and really just dreaming about what's in the future for them and what kind of cool things God has for them and how they're going to contribute to the world. So I guess that would be my peace on earth answer for you.
Well, that's real, though, the answer you gave. Shouldn't we all be celebrating when those that come behind us, whether they're children or somebody we've mentored, when they're going further than we did? I mean, that's, to me, that is something worth celebrating. Well, Sarah, thank you for your time, your energy, and your insights. I've really enjoyed our conversation here. You are a beloved child of God. And as our practice here at GC Podcast, we like to end with prayer. So would you be willing to pray over our churches and pastors and ministry leaders?
Yes, it would be my honor to do that. All right, so let's pray together. Jesus, we all come to you. We are so grateful for the Faith Avenue, where we get to just be in partnership with you, be your disciples, have input from you, and walk along in life with you, becoming more like you as you work in our hearts. And then also just drawing closer together with our brothers and sisters in the church. So just thank you for this opportunity. And I would just like to pray for our church's pastors and Faith Avenue teams as they develop their own ministry in their churches that do these things. Jesus, I would ask that you would guide them and inspire them, open their eyes to what you want them to do in that individual church and what you would like them to look like, and just help them to follow your lead in their unique situation and give them the courage to follow you wherever they're leading. And Lord, thank you so much for our church family. It's just amazing to do life together. Please continue to help us have unity in our congregations and help us to reach out to each other as church members to help and support each other. And then help us to cast our eyes outside the church walls and be aware of those around us who need that family connection with you and that family connection with our church family, and help us be willing to share our wonderful experience with those connections and to let others know how they can be included in that as well. So Jesus, we look to you, we honor you for everything you accomplish. We give you praise for what you've done in our lives, and just thank you so much, and we ask these things in your name. Amen.
Kara, it's difficult to pick out one thing Sarah said that was most impactful. I was personally inspired by the personal story she told. What stood out to you?
One piece that really stood out to me that I appreciated Sarah mentioning was when they took a pause and kind of recalibrated and gave people the space and the permission to change where they were participating in ministry. And she mentioned that that's actually really scary because there could have been holes, right, that were left in the leadership of certain ministries, but they did it anyways because She wanted to see people leading out of calling, leading out of where they felt the Holy Spirit was asking them, leading them to participate in that season. And I think that that is beautiful, to move and to make the difficult choice to move from a needs-oriented approach to ministry participation and leadership to a call and response approach. I think, and as she mentioned, they just trusted God, and God came through as he does, even if it's not in the way that we wanted or expected. And so I really appreciate that intentional choice to allow people, invite them to lead out of response to calling instead of need in the ministry.
Yeah, that's really good. Well, speaking of call and response, friends, we want to call you out in a good way and ask you to respond, because we really want to know what you think about GC Podcast. I mean, one of the limitations of doing a podcast, Kara and I are talking, we're having fun, but we don't know if you are. So we want your feedback on what you think about GC Podcast and how we can improve going forward. So Kara, tell us more.
Yes, yeah, so we would love to hear from you. You can go on ahead and take a moment to fill out a survey and provide feedback by visiting the show notes for this episode. So again, just go ahead and visit the show notes. Let us know what you think, and your feedback is going to help us shape the content and the guests that we include in 2022.
And the good news about this, friends, if you're looking for a new host, you got it, because this is my last chance here with GC Podcast, and what fun it's been. We really appreciate you listening to GC Podcast. If you like what you've heard, give us a rating wherever you're listening to the podcast. It really does help get the word out and for others to join the conversation. Until next time, keep living and sharing the gospel.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.